The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I guess what's closest to my mind to talk about is this has to do with awareness. And so, the tradition we're in is a mindfulness tradition, where the emphasis is mindful attention to what's happening in the present moment. And mindfulness is a particular way of noticing carefully, cognizing, perceiving what's happening in the moment. And when teachers like me sometimes talk about mindfulness, we use a variety of other words sometimes seemingly as synonyms for mindfulness. And one of the words is awareness. We might say, you know, be mindful in the same breath as saying, be aware, as if they're the same thing. And we might use the word attention. Occasionally people might even use the word, you know, being conscious in the same kind of way. And it seems like, you know, it's all the same. But in fact, there are distinctions to be made between these different words. And so the word awareness is used quite freely many times, but, you know, how is that distinguished from mindfulness? What is awareness? And then we have the problem for Buddhists who want to kind of refer back to the teachings of the Buddha is what word did the Buddha use that can be translated as awareness? Or how do we back-translate awareness into the... And that's a little hard, too, for people, you know, just, What are these things? And then we have modern psychologists who are also trying to define these things. They try to define what mindfulness is, and you have clinical definitions of what mindfulness is. And as the clinical research gets done, you get narrow and narrow definitions of what it is. Because they have to have narrow definitions in order to do clinical trials, and because otherwise, you know, how do you know what you're studying? And then you have, psychologists, brain researchers who are trying to figure out what in the world is consciousness. And there's all these theories. You know, every few years there's a new theory. They're trying to explain it, what it is, what consciousness is. And trying to, you know, and as far as I know, I haven't followed the literature. I don't think anybody has a adequate handle yet on what consciousness is. What is it for human? What does it take for a human being to be conscious? And what is consciousness? How does it operate? And so, what are the interesting things about awareness? If I'm allowed to use this word now without defining it, is sometimes it seems so obvious, you know, what awareness is. We're aware, right? I mean, you're aware. I mean, you're all aware to listening to me. Some awareness is operating. So what is that awareness that you have? You know, and if you focus on it, try to understand, you know, what is the awareness that allows you to notice that what I'm saying? You'll tie yourself in knots pretty quickly trying to define or clarify what is this, you know, what is it, what's operating here? But it seems so obvious. It's like natural thing, or consciousness. What is it to be conscious? It's obvious you're conscious. But what is it really to be conscious? And then we have people who have, you know, for most of us, I think consciousness generally operates pretty smoothly. You know, we're just conscious and, you know, we don't think about it much. We don't have to orchestrate being conscious. It's, you know, we get in our car to drive on the freeway and we're not really trying to figure out exactly what consciousness is and how we bring it into operation and different factors. It's just like it's there. Mm-hmm. You know, we're focusing on other things like the stop sign and the speed limit and the cars in front of us and around us. And, you know, there's lots to pay attention to, but, you know, you're not going to pay attention to, you know, your consciousness is taken for granted. But what is, you know, but then sometimes people have physiological problems with their brains. And suddenly, it's not so obvious anymore. It's actually, it gets pretty complicated, and the whole act of perceiving and understanding the world is not this smooth, harmonious kind of operation. But you see that researchers say that actually consciousness is made up of different elements that come into play. And some of those elements, some of those physiological, psychological brain functionings aren't operating just right anymore. And so how people are conscious or what's going on just is not happening in the way that is so smooth and so easy, and it becomes a little bit difficult for people. But for many people, just like... And so one of the things that happens when it's, you know, operating smoothly, it's very easy to see it as a unitary thing. It's just a unitary event. It's just, you're conscious, or you're not, but consciousness when you're focused is just a unitary, it's a single thing. Consciousness is consciousness. It's just a unitary event, single thing. And so, but one of the things that can happen, especially with Buddhist practice, meditation practice, is you can begin to feel how malleable awareness is, how malleable what we might call consciousness is. And at least in the way we sense it or feel it or experience it, what it actually is, I don't know, but the way it can be experienced. And one of the first things that can happen with people who meditate, I don't know first, but something that can happen is that at some point as we get concentrated, as we get relaxed, more open, settled, is there's a sense of the mind, in other words, these words that can be like synonymous with consciousness and awareness, you know. Now what do I mean? I brought in a new word, mind. What does it mean now? But people say that, right? The mind or consciousness or awareness is that it becomes broad, expansive, large. And the Buddha actually even talked about one of the things to be aware of when you do mindfulness practice is when the mind becomes expansive, open, big. And then especially when you have that as a reference point, you can feel sometimes how the mind can get contracted, awareness can get contracted, consciousness can get contracting. You can get very contracted and tight, kind of fixated and focused on something very... And there's even a sense of darkening of awareness as we get focused and caught in a certain kind of thought. And then you can relax and you can feel it get expansive and open again. And that open, expansive awareness, sometimes people have the sense sometimes that it's not bounded, limited, by this, our skin, by the boundaries of our body, but it feels like it's kind of feels like it's broader and bigger even than our body. But is it really? Is it like you know, radioactivity, where you know we have a thing that's radioactive and the radioactivity kind of radiates out beyond the edges of the uranium rock, you know, just goes on and on, or a hot stove, you know, the heat radiates beyond the stove. Is awareness like that? That it radiates beyond the body? Or is it just a way of experiencing? It's just when there's no concept of boundary, when we're relaxed and open, it's experienced that way, but awareness doesn't actually go beyond. Or does it go beyond? And then you can get into all kinds of philosophical puzzles, because it has to go on beyond. It doesn't have to go beyond somehow, because I'm aware of the tree over there. So awareness has to at least be as far away as the tree. And so awareness certainly... But what is awareness? Is it really that awareness is as far away as the tree over there? Or is it really that the light is bouncing off the tree and coming into us? And then, you know, there's no awareness going out there. It's the light particles are coming in here and the mind reconstructs it. But as it reconstructs it, it's very easy to get a sense that we're not really usually thinking about light coming in here. We're just thinking about we're aware of the tree, and the tree is happening within awareness. And so therefore, if it's happening within awareness, the awareness is as big as a tree. And so then people have these cosmic ideas that the awareness encompasses the whole world, it's boundless, is the world, you know, and... But is that really kind of an optical illusion? Is it really, you know, the case? That's how it is. But anyway, you can have the sense the awareness is tight, constricted. Awareness expansive. It's possible to take awareness and feel like you're separated from what you're paying attention to. You're like bird's eye view, you're observer watching what's going on. It's possible to have awareness and bring it really close in and feel like you're really intimate and almost like you've absorbed or collapsed into the experience. You become one with the experience, no separation. People talk about non-duality, kind of just collapsing, sinking into it. And it's possible to have, in the Vipassana world, they sometimes talk about adjusting your awareness. So sometimes you have a broad angle lens on your awareness and you just take in the big picture. And sometimes you take a close-up lens and you get really close in. And awareness, something about awareness where you can adjust it and change the lens and sometimes look really, really like at the refined, like a microscope. And sometimes you step back and you have this big, broad, 360-degree awareness that it takes in everything, but not the details necessarily so close, but just really broad and expansive. The Buddha talked about when the mind gets concentrated, the mind, again, what's the mind? But the word is used mind. The mind gets malleable. It means it can be shaped or formed like malleable clay. You can, one clay that's hard, you can't do anything to except break it or ignore it. But when the clay is soft, it's malleable and plastic. You can shape it and move it. So when we're really attached and tight, caught up in things, the mind becomes brittle or hard. But when the mind is soft from concentration, a soft mind is malleable, can be shaped. And so one of the things that can be shaped and shifted is the awareness itself. It can be made expansive and small, narrow, and all these things. And then how we experience awareness might have something to do also with what awareness is aware of, the object of awareness. And in some degree, because it's hard. It's very rare to have awareness by itself without being aware of something. So the thing that we're being aware of sometimes shapes how we experience awareness. And it's hard to be aware for most people without a sense of being the one who is aware. So the sense we have of who am I as I'm aware shapes also how we experience awareness. And it's possible that awareness is not a thing, it's a process, and it's kind of like, since it doesn't have any shape by itself, it has no weight, it has no form, that the form and the shape and the sense of it is very much influenced or shaped by our relationship to it, or our concepts of it, or what's going on around it. Maybe it's something that morphs and changes. And when some people have the experience of consciousness or awareness being really vast, permanent, kind of the background ground or background sense of everything and the stable source or the stable kind of thing which experiences all the changes in the world. And that's a beautiful experience. It's very helpful and supportive. But it's also a beautiful experience to be able to take awareness and narrow it down, be really focused and narrow and really collapse in and really experience things. It's a lot of beautiful things you can do with awareness. It's valuable. It should be appreciated and respected. But what is it really? The broad, expansive awareness that feels like it's... Some people say it's permanent, it's everlasting, it's eternal, it never dies. It feels that way. Is it really? The fact that you feel it that way, or experience it that way, is the fact that we experience it an accurate indication of what's really true. They say sometimes that when awareness experiences emptiness, that awareness somehow begins to feel as if it has some of the qualities of emptiness. emptiness can have a quality of being timeless, of being eternal. It's just there. And so it feels like the awareness is kind of like that empty space. But it doesn't make sense to talk about emptiness being eternal. Emptiness is, what is it? You know, just... So awareness, consciousness can be malleable, can shift and change. What we do with our mind, activities of the mind can shift and change how we experience awareness and consciousness. We can have beliefs and attitudes in relationship to what awareness is and consciousness is. Some of them can, those beliefs can feel ultimate. But it's possible to watch also how the mind constructs ideas of ultimate, how the mind has ideas and relationships to what we call consciousness. So that's interesting. It's very important to notice that the mind has these constructs, these ideas coming up about all this. And so as I understand the path of mindfulness, is that we're just fascinated and curious about how all this works, and you just keep coming back to be mindful and see and notice, this is how it is, this is what it is. And we get more and more subtle to notice the little movements of the mind in all directions, and all the activities of the mind, the beliefs, the ideas, and all this. For the purpose of learning how not to cling to any of it. What awareness is not that important, I would say. What's important is that we've learned not to cling. And that is where our refuge is. That's where freedom is found. That's where our safety is found, is in not clinging. And then when we don't cling, awareness can be what it is. We don't have a need for it to be any particular way. It can be many ways. It can be the way that's useful and supportive in different circumstances in our life. And in fact, the less clinging there is, the wider range of ways of experiencing awareness and consciousness are available. And the more awareness can stand out as a significant, important thing in this life of all the different things going on. Because when we cling, it tends to obscure the functioning of awareness or consciousness. But less clinging, the more consciousness kind of stands out. But what is it? I don't really know. So I apologize to take all this time to tell you about something I don't know. But I do know about not clinging. And so that's, I hope that awareness has not become something, one more thing to cling to, but rather one more thing not to cling to. So thank you.